Welcome to the podcast at the extraordinary time of year that everyone starts being incredibly generous. We've got to say thank you to everyone from the Gold Coast Community Christmas Lunch. Have you heard about this?
From nine
until 3 o'clock, they need a couple of hundred volunteers on Christmas Day. They feed a lot of people around the Gold Coast, people who need a Christmas lunch and can't afford it. So if you've got a bit of time up your sleeve and you'd like to volunteer to help feed a bunch of people on Christmas Day, lunch is at 11, but they need you there from 9. So
do you get lunch yourself? Do you get lunch yourself if you serve everyone else?
I don't know the answer to that.
I think it's so good to give back on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. It is the best present to give yourself.
I knew you'd say that. That'd be the sort of thing I reckon you'd go do.
I helped out at a domestic violence shelter 1 year and helped distribute all the presents for the kids as well.
That'd be special.
And that is really special. To make sure that they get looked after and the mums as well when they've had a horrendous year.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to do.
Yeah. I remember a player. He actually ran past the coach's house on Christmas morning.
Oh, right.
Best thing he's ever done. When he come back from pre-season, the coach said, I remember I saw one player run past my house on Christmas morning and I know that player's going to play round one. And he did. So the next year, how many players you reckon ran past the coach's house on Christmas morning?
About 38.
Exactly right.
Mate, I tell you what, did you see the jet skis the other day, all the Santas on jet skis, the world record attempt?
Yeah, they do that every year. The water was pretty mucky this year for
it was, wasn't it? Yeah, but they managed to raise $15,000 for kids in care, which is an awesome effort this time of the year. My word, absolutely.
Have you ever been to Ballarat? I think it's Ballarat or Bendigo. Santa's raising money.
Yeah, yes. Go on.
They do a pub crawl with thousands of Santas. And they go every... So now we're starting to talk business, aren't we? Now we're starting to talk our lingo. Thousands of Santas end up and walk through the streets because I think one of them have got like 50-odd pubs in the place. And the idea is they just keep going from pub to pub to pub dressed as Santa.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
raising
so cool.
Money.
Oh, that's wicked.
I'll tell you what else you might want to know. The Titans are putting together a netball team.
How's that all tied together?
I'm
just sort of going wrapping around in a bit of a local dump, sort of a Gold Coast kind of.
Oh, like a bit of a bomb, like a rain bomb.
What are they doing? Is it going to be Titans croquet, Titans netball, Titans basketball?
They're following the Collingwood Football Club, who's done exactly the same. The Titans are going in the second division.
That's right.
There's a couple of AFL clubs like Collingwood, also the Giants, who are actually on top of the ladder in the netballs at the moment.
They're in the statewide competition, not the national.
Can I just say why?
Because you know what? Can I tell you?
Can you tell me then? Can I get a word in?
No, go.
Why? It's like when KFC stick to chicken, McDonald's stick to beef. Don't try and get into chicken.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when Red Rooster tried to do fish.
Yeah, right.
Just stick with what you know.
Yeah, well, because a lot of the local communities, because whenever you're growing up through these, outback, any town, there's always football and netball. And now a lot of local clubs have joined together, so they cut all their expenses in half and they're able to afford so much more around the club rooms rather than running as two separate divisions. They all run as one and they're able to have their presentation nights and have bigger nights throughout the whole community. So they're trying to bring it all as one. So then the AFL and the NRL are jumping on board and doing very similar.
Peter Spider Everett, you just made sense.
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah.
Chicken, fish and meat all at the same place. I like it. I'm in.
I'm the duck in Everett.
Wow, was that your nickname at St Kilda?
Yeah. Thanks for sticking with Bridge, Tadukan and Flan. We are going to get to your calls. Spider smashed his phone.
Yeah.
How did he do it? We're going to take your calls on that. We're also going to speak to Dr. Catherine Bennett. Wow, an epidemiologist from Deakin University. She's Professor Catherine Bennett. Last time we chatted to her, we had heaps and heaps and heaps of hits. She's going to take you through this new Omicron that's threatening us, and we're going to hear from the new Queensland CHMO, that's the Chief Health Medical Officer, and he's going to talk about the same.
Morning. Let's get underway, eh? Thank you. Thanks for coming. Ta. Hey, is anyone here from the Gold Coast Bulletin?
Yeah.
Yeah, have you got a copy of today's bully? My wife reckons I'm in it. Am I in it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Have you got a copy?
Nah.
Oh, okay. thought you'd have one. You work for him.
What's the story with Omicron?
With what?
Omicron.
Oh, yeah. There's a bit of it about. They reckon you only get it if you eat someone else's chewy off the bottom of a desk or if you wear someone else's undies. And who's going to do that?
Are you scared to close the border?
No. That's the Premier's job. I do masks, no dancing, and not blowing out birthday cake candles, that sort of stuff.
Oh, for God's sake, just answer the border question, all right?
Hey, listen, how about we focus on the positive, eh? Hospital wait times are down. That's good news. Write that down, you miserable packet. Here, give you an example. Patient on the Gold Coast, presented on Monday, got seen the same day. Yeah. 10th person this year to do that. He won a laptop, so he's happy. Yeah, not with the treatment, with the MacBook, yeah. Very, very happy customer. Till he passed away this morning. So not ideal outcome, but still, same day service. Let's look on the bright side. And Oi! We're beginning to clear the backlog of elective surgery. Bloke in Rockhampton sewed his ears together on top of his head. It wasn't elective surgery, just some medical students on the juice. Yeah, but I'm not going to punish them for practicing. Look, if that's everything, I might scoot.
The new word we've learned over the last few days, Omicron. That's right. And could the emergence of Omicron possibly be more infectious, less virulent variant of coronavirus? Could this be a good thing? This is what some epidemiologists are saying. Well, they're saying because of this, it might eventually mutate into a more benign form and wipe out Delta.
Good.
So to learn more on this, joining us is Professor Catherine Bennett, the Chair in Epidemiology at Deakin University. What a title. Thank you for joining us, Professor Catherine. So this could be a good thing?
Yeah, we don't know if it's this variant, but it's certainly something that longer term, you know, we hope that we will see more infectious variants that do dominate, as we've seen Delta dominate and before that Alpha, but that might cause less severe illness. So what we're seeing out of South Africa at the moment, where we've seen most cases in the community, is a story where hopefully, you know, it is a mild illness. It has occurred mainly in younger people. So that all also correlates with a milder illness generally with coronavirus. So we have to be a bit careful to jump to conclusions. But if it were a variant that caused mild illness, it might actually, you know, cause less damage if people are infected than Delta. But we also don't want to see lots of infections. So we worry if it's more infectious. But equally, we really look closely at whether or not it causes severe illness, because that's the main concern. And so far, we've had somewhat encouraging news in that they're not seeing a more severe illness profile.
Professor Bennett, I read an article late last week about Japan, and they were saying that it had run wild and had run itself into the ground. Have you read that article? No. Is it true? Is that what we are hoping for in the near future?
Well, that's interesting, because that was a Delta wave that they experienced. And there was talk about whether or not that Delta pathway was one that, you know, it wasn't going to tolerate more mutations. They were suggesting actually when you had a high rate of infection in the community, which is when you see more mutations with more replication, but that maybe more of those mutations were actually catastrophic. And not only did it not generate a fit new variant that might cause problems like we're seeing in South Africa, but it might have actually contributed to the more rapid end to the wave. And so it's interesting. You know, we're looking in detail at the variants circulating, but we also do need to sit back and look at that bigger picture to try and understand where this pandemic is heading towards. And that was another, I guess, positive potentially, if it meant that we were starting to get, you know, the variants that we're seeing into corners where they're either less likely to be severe illness or less likely to be able to keep mutating in down that pathway that does relate to more severe illness, as we saw that step with Delta.
Yeah, I'm presuming you mean catastrophic to the illness. And I find it really interesting that at the start of a pandemic, you talk about flattening the curve. And at the end of a pandemic, you talk about letting it mutate to the point of its own self-destruction. Is the difference the vaccination in between?
Oh, that's a big difference. We're still not, we don't want the virus to spread, because, you know, spread still means uncertainty when it comes to replication, mutation, and what that might lead to. But at the end of the day, you know, the virus in itself, as its own, challenges when mutations form. A lot of them, most of them, because there's zillions of mutations, just go nowhere because it's actually catastrophic to the virus. It can't survive. It stops it replicating, or it means it's not effective as a virus anymore. So that's the thing. And but you're right, it's vaccination that has covered us against severe illness, most importantly.
I'm a half glass full kind of person. Is there a possibility that there could be a worse
variant
than the Delta?
We don't know. I mean, that's the whole thing. That's why they watch these variants so closely. And this time they've called the variant a variant of concern even earlier, in a sense. Usually they'll wait for, well-documented evidence of either more transmissible or more serious illness or whatever. This time it was actually a combination of the profile of mutations, some they know are associated with more transmission, but also what they were seeing in South Africa. But at the same time, there is still uncertainty about mutations that we haven't seen before. And so we don't want it to mutate. We do want to slow infection. And even if it's mild illness, we want to stop that in countries where they don't have the vaccination coverage to protect them from serious illness, because you still will see those infections in places like Africa.
That's right. Yeah.
Incredibly high rates of HIV/AIDS as well, and that makes people more vulnerable.
Professor Catherine Bennett, thank you so much, Chair in Epidemiology at the Deakin University. Thank you for shedding some light on the new mutated virus.
We want to talk about, Flan, where's your phone right now?
I believe it's on the kitchen bench at home.
Oh no,
that's hurting me. I feel I haven't got any money, I haven't got a phone, I haven't got any internet, I can't put on a multi, I feel weird and it's terrible.
How many times have you reached for it already this morning?
Oh, 8, 10?
Yeah.
It's like my phone. Oh, no, that's right.
Well, it happened to me yesterday because same thing. I didn't know where my phone was and I walked back inside and I had to go down to the – I was going to the tip trailer on and I thought, oh, no, I can't find it in the car. And, it connects automatically to your Bluetooth. So, okay, if it's in the car, it's going to connect.
Yes. Was it in the trailer, was it, when you threw some stuff in the trailer and it went in out of your hand?
No, because couldn't find it. So I thought, oh, well, I'm only going to the tip. I don't really need it.
No.
So took off, drove off.
You got to check in, though, when you go to the tip.
Yeah, I know, I didn't know. Anyway.
That's a classic spider moment.
Yes. No, I didn't know. Lost my phone. Got home, couldn't find it.
Oh, no.
No idea where it was. Shree was ringing it, still no answer. Around everywhere, and I'm thinking like you, Flan, I'm thinking this is in the tip for
sure.
Have
you got all your cards and things
your main cards and... the whole lot.
It's your wallet. It's everything, isn't it?
It is.
Oh,
and then suddenly we ring it and somebody picks it up.
Oh.
So a guy found it, but unfortunately just after he'd ran over it.
Oh, no.
Serious?
Yeah.
Oh,
so he's ran over my phone. It still works, but lucky I can't check in anywhere because the phone doesn't work because the screen's cracked.
Oh, no,
I try and check in. The camera doesn't work, so I've got to manually check in everywhere now.
Oh. I
want to know, whenever you lost your phone and where did you find it?
Hey, does it recognise your face? You got a new phone.
It doesn't. It doesn't recognise my face.
Doesn't want to know you anymore.
Nothing.
You left me. I don't recognise you anymore.
So I've got to put in a PIN code for it now. Like, it's the worst thing ever. And every time you manually want to go to a shop, you got to check in manually.
Yeah.
But it was like, at least I got it back. At least I got the cards and your license and everything. You don't have to look for it.
Lisa put hers on the bonnet of my car. We were out at night doing a few things the other night. I had to move the car. And I didn't know she'd put the phone there. So I sort of reversed out into the street, parked it properly, and then went back up. And she said, oh, my phone was on your car. And then she ran down towards the car. It had slid off the bonnet right into the middle of the road.
Oh.
And then that's when she saw the car coming along the road. And she looked at the car, and she looked at the phone, she looked at the car, looked at the phone, looked at the car, the phone, the phone, the phone, the car, the car. And it went straight over and completely missed it.
No! Oh. Lost my phone yesterday, and then I must have – I was going to the tip, so it either fell off the bonnet, the roof, the trailer, don't know, but end up on the road, and somebody drove over it. And, look, I got the phone back, but it was all cracked, and I can't check in anymore because the camera doesn't work on it, but at least the phone works and all the cards are there. And we're just asking on 1300 925 666, whenever you lost your phone, Bridget, it's happened to you?
Yes. Now, whenever I go to the toilet and drop my Dax, I make sure my derriere is facing the door and not near the actual bowl. Didn't know. Now, my poor phone, yes, and then I did a wee on top of it.
Okay.
And then I flushed it. Lucky and then I didn't know.
Oh.
And then I found it later. And rice won't help. By that stage, there is no rice that can help your phone.
Oh, no.
Tamara in Currumbin Waters, when do you lose your phone? When did you find it?
I actually didn't lose mine. I found someone at the bar on the weekend, actually, on the floor.
Oh.
Is there a picture of Spider on it?
I nearly stood on it, and I went, oh, that's a phone. I better pick that up. So I picked it up, and luckily it didn't have a lock on it, so I rang the last person that messaged them.
Yeah.
And said, where are you? So I figured they were there somewhere. So I rang that number and the guy that phone it was standing next to the guy that said, where are you in the text? And they're like, what the hell? How's my phone ringing you? I'm standing here.
Oh, that's
so then they freaked and rang me back because they didn't pick it up in time. And they rang it back and I'm like, hello, is this your phone?
Did he give you an award?
Where are you? Oh, my God, my lifeline. Oh, no, no, where are you? They were freaking out. And it's like losing your whole life in the, when you lose your phone.
You're
and
not wrong.
My God, he high-fived me. He wanted to bloody, he was like so grateful. He was like falling over himself.
Any reward?
So,
well, thank you very much for this. How about a drink? How about $50? How about
a date? Anything?
No, nothing. Nothing. Oh, no. I just got a handshake and a fist pump.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Thanks, Tamara.
Yeah.
Jeff and Benora Point. Where'd you lose your phone? Did you find it?
I did find it. Yeah, I used to work for Australia Post delivering parcels and my phone dropped out of my pocket on my shift. So I had no idea where I'd dropped it on my run. And I was lucky enough, I put my name and my home phone number on a piece of paper inside the cover.
Yeah.
And a guy picked it up off his driveway and opened it up and saw the phone number and rang me and I got it back.
Oh, that's a great idea. It's like putting your name and number on your school shirt.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I've got my name and number on my keys as well, on my car keys in case they ever drop them, but not my address just in case they decide to rob me.
Well, good point.
In case address on mine because that place is so rubbish. I hope they pinch everything. Thank you for joining us. We'd love you to catch the show. It's from 5 a.m. on weekdays on 92.5 FM, the Gold Coast's Triple M.